You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Weekend Breakfast on your number one news and talk station.
This is the one time that we as adults in the studio are allowed to play and we are allowed to be children again. So we get very excited when we see Nikki Bush because she brings in toys for Africa and we just sit here and our eyes just get quite wide and we love the colours and everything that you bring in. Happy New Year, Nikki Bush.
Thank you, Pamela, and to you too.
Thank you for coming in and helping, I think, many of us because we do want independent children, don't we?
We do, but unfortunately, we are often parenting for the short game, not the long game.
Yes.
And parenting is a long game. And we seem to be more worried about raising happy children than competent and autonomous children. So I think that this year, as a New Year's resolution as a parent, we really need to be focusing on raising independent, resourceful, and resilient children. And in response to so many inquiries from parents and from schools saying this is the biggest problem we are currently facing at the moment is lack of independence. I'm actually hosting a public talk on the 11th and the 13th of February, and it's called Let Go and Let Grow, because we need to ultimately let our children go. That is our goal as parents, to create independent children.
So why do you think there's suddenly a surge in this problem where children are not as independent as they used to be? What's happened? Are we more busy and it's easier to just do things?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the issues that you've raised. And the other one is that we're living through times of enormous change. You think of all the things that worry parents. Things like Donald Trump, Jacob Zuma, the terrible exchange rate, the rand-dollar exchange rate. You know, all these things that are out of our control.
I love it. Let's blame Donald Trump for everything, okay?
You know, problem. The more out of control we feel, the more we go into hyper-control.
Yeah.
And when we go into hyper-control, we tend to start doing more helicopter parenting where we micromanage our children, or lawnmower parenting where we try and literally wipe out any obstacle that comes in their way. We try and smooth the path for our children instead of preparing our children for the path. So here's something amusing that might bring a smile to your face this morning. And it was literally a high school staff that were trying to design the perfect recording for the school telephone. So if you phoned in and you got, you know, the voicemail, these were your possibilities. You know how it says press one for this, press two. So it says the staff looked at several possibilities and finally agreed on the following. This is what you could press. To lie about why your child is absent, press one. To make excuses for why your child did not do his work, press two. To complain about what we do, press 3. To swear at staff members, press 4. To ask why you didn't get information that was already enclosed in your newsletter and is several flyers emailed to you, press 5. If you want us to raise your child, press 6. If you want to reach out and touch, slap, or hit someone, press 7. To request another teacher for the third time this year, press 8. To complain about bus transportation, press 9. To demand that your child get a higher grade, press 0. Now, you know, we might laugh about these things, but I'm telling you that I get told about these things all the time, that parents are making these demands. In fact, even going to school and saying, you will please change this report commentary now because it doesn't reflect well on my child, even if it's true. So parents are becoming part of what's being termed an epidemic of jet-powered turbo-attack helicopter parents. And this is causing teachers not to be able to teach properly. Schools are living in fear of parents. And children are growing up being able to name, blame, and shame everybody else and not take responsibility for their own actions. Now, this is not good for developing children who will take responsibility in their future for their actions. And that's what independent children do. So we need to allow our children, for example, to become frustrated and to deal with adversity. Letting kids figure some things out on their own is really important.
What in actual terms, what you're saying, Nikki, is that if there's a fight, child goes to the play, you know, not even school, because school, I think, is also in a way quite protective. So there will always be somebody that says, what's wrong? Are you okay? You know, whatever the case may be. But if you're in maybe a public area and there is a play area and they get into a fight with another child, are you saying that the thing possibly to do is to watch, observe, and kind of stand back
and see if they can figure it out for themselves? I watched on the beach recently during a holiday two toddlers in a tussle over a stick. And it was quite interesting because the parents actually did, they knew what was happening. They saw what was happening. And these, I think it was like 2 4-year-olds. And they were getting quite physical with each other. And eventually they resolved it. They resolved it. I mean, the one pushed the other one.
Yes.
Obviously, you have to look for danger. You know, you don't want a child pushing another child off a jungle gym, for example.
Yeah.
So you are going to watch. But I think what we are seeing a lot, and bullying is an issue,
yes,
we know that.
Yes.
But a lot of what is reported as bullying is actually children just working out where they sit in the social structure. Just sorting themselves out. And we are jumping in too soon and labeling it as bullying before it actually does become a pure case of bullying.
It's quite fascinating, and I think we need to have a conversation about this another time because it needs another sort of hour to discuss. So, you know, in relation to how you want your children to be resilient, there are other parents who don't get that. So your child is interacting with other children. So how do you manage that balance?
So maybe a few tips. Stop rescuing your children if you don't need to. Let them solve their own problems where they can. So that sort of mantra of if they can, they must. It's things like taking your children to school and carrying their bags for them if they're old enough to carry their own bags. Picking your child up and carrying them into school when they're capable of walking into school. And allowing them to fail sometimes. And yes, this is difficult. As you said, some people are going to be promoting their children to win all the time. And here you are saying, well, actually, you know, if he stumbles and falls every now and again, it's okay. But as I said in the beginning, we're parenting for the long term. You can have a child coming out of school with exceptional grades and a perfect scorecard, but they might not necessarily do that well in life because they don't have the skills to cope with the ups and downs, the twists and the turns. So
the frustration, I think, for me is what we are listening to now. And I love what you're saying. But there's that. And then there's obviously then the school which promotes children who are winners, which, you know, sometimes where you get the feeling that they expect them to win. So I'm one of those parents who's never asked the school to make sure that my child is is an A student. I don't expect my child to be an A student. However, the school could have the expectation. So there's that balance where you say, well, I think they're fine. I think they're doing fine, failing, whatever the case may be, but they're doing fine. They're moving, you know, they're learning what they need to learn. And then the expectations of the school to want every child to be an A student. How do you manage that?
I think schools are actually moving away from that because they are realizing the children need these X factors for success. However, schools also are part of a system that requires children to finish matric with a certain, you know, certain marks in order to access the next level of tertiary education. And this is where we're coming unstuck, is that we're almost living in a dual system where our children have to do well enough academically in order to access the next level. And at the same time, as parents, our responsibility is to help our children to develop those X factors for success, which include resourcefulness and resilience. So we have to find creative ways of ensuring our children actually do develop those, even though they still have to do well enough academically. I know this is a tricky mindset to embrace, but you are not going to be there as a crutch for your children for the rest of their lives. And that is something that you need to understand. So our listeners can hop onto my blog and they can pick up information about the Let Go, Let Grow workshop, because I think it's a mindset we need to start adopting.
Mm. Gosh, it's tough. 011-883-0702 if you are battling with, you know, allowing your children to be. And sometimes, I mean, it's because of safety and so on. So it's tough. I don't really think we're here to judge. I think all of us are battling with when and how and, you know, what's the most appropriate way to do it and so on, and allowing your children to navigate through these spaces. So we're definitely welcome to take your calls. But also, you know, Nikki will have those workshops happening in the 11th to the 13th of February. So you're more than welcome to also go and listen in on those. I think they'll be really, really helpful. But now let's play. Let's play.
Absolutely. So there's been lots of talk, Pamela, about our poor maths results.
Yes.
And we need to go back, and your caller just after the news, Grant, was talking about matric. Mm. And I honestly do believe that good matrics start in the foundation phase. Mm. So I've brought in two maths games today. Mm-hmm. The one is for the babies, mm. for the preschoolers. And this is called I Count. Mm-hmm. It's by Jeco, one of my favorite brands. Mm-hmm. And it's 170 Rand, available in independent stores and I think Toy Kingdom. It's a number train. Goes from 1 to 10. There are 10 carriages. And then there, and it's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. So it's a long puzzle. And then the children have to find the matching piece. Which, and this one, for example, has 7 koala bears, 8 monkeys, 9 penguins. And so they build this number train. Mm-hmm. They link them together. And this is about number sequencing. Which mm. number comes before 7? Which number comes after 7? It's a number line. Mm. They can learn to count in twos. And then, of course, you can use counters and put counters on top of all the different animals so they get a concrete experience of number, that there are 8 little plastic, maybe Lego pieces on top of the 8 monkeys, for example. So that's a stunning one for the babies. And then for the older children, we have something called Rally. Mm-hmm. It actually also comes from the Jeco stable. This one is about 330 Rand. And it is a card game, a number card game. And it's about making up and breaking up numbers. And children need to learn how to do that. Be the first to win by winning 3 rounds. When you win a round, you win a little car. What we do is everybody gets 6 cards dealt to them, and each card has different numbers on it. We throw these 2 dice, and the dice have got 2 numbers. We add them together. And so this, for example, is 5 plus 1 is 6. That's our target number. Mm. Now, with your cards, if you were looking at these cards, how would you make up the six? It would might be a 3, a 2
Lovely.
And a 1,
Lovely.
Or 2 threes, or a 7 minus a 1.
Lovely.
Can you see what we're Lovely. Trying to do? So the first person to win 3 rounds is the winner.
Oh,
quick games. These
lovely.
Are quick little games for busy parents.
If you don't know where to get them, go to Nikki's website and then you'll be able, she'll guide you
Nikki through. NikkiBush.com.
NikkiBush.com.